Hey everybody, happy holidays. Merry Christmas, happy Kwanzaa, happy Hanukkah. Don't tell me to say happy holidays though. Don't tell me how I can tell somebody and praise them for celebrating their imaginary thing. It's just a holiday. Stop getting so goddamn offended. Better news, the website's up, onthebuspodcast.com. Get over there, check it out, where you can download and listen to past episodes and current episodes from Google Play, SoundCloud, Podbean, or iTunes. While you're there, hit up the Amazon portal. Folks, it's that time of year. It's that time, an imaginary time, that we say January 1st, a year starts over, a new trip around the sun, and people get a little motivated. They got resolutions they want to take care of. Maybe they want to drop a few pounds. Maybe they want to be more of a scumbag. Or maybe they want to be less of a scumbag. Some people need tools. They need little things that are going to help them. You need to head down to our Amazon portal at onthebuspodcast.com, where you can find any tricks, any tools that you possibly need to help complete your resolution, or that are going to make you completely fail your resolution. It doesn't matter. We don't judge you here on the bus. The bus is, let's say, it's a safe space for everybody. All right? So head over to the Amazon portal at onthebuspodcast.com. Check it out. Podcast is also brought to you by Gopher Case. What makes a Gopher Case unique is because it is a multiple custom accessory phone case. The first thing being a selfie stick that's Bluetooth enabled, collapsible, fully detachable, thanks to their patented clip-in technology. Now, this thing is phenomenal. I've seen it in our studio. I've seen it used to take our own photos. It's great. It's great traveling, capturing a moment while you're just exploring the city you're in. You want a Gopher Case. You need a Gopher Case. Get over to gophercase.com. Use promo code on the bus. That's all lower K's. ON space THE space BUS space, and get yourself a Gopher Case for the new year. Be more optimal in the way you take your photos and have a strong protected phone case. Now, our next sponsor is Organifi. Organifi, I don't leave the country with that. I don't leave it even if I'm traveling inside the country. I'm about to head down to Mexico, and even though I may have a hepatitis A vaccination, mind you, hepatitis A is not sexually transmitted or drug transmittable. It is from foodborne illnesses. Now, you do not want to be picking up one of these while you're travels, no matter how long or how short your travel is. When you are vomiting and shitting your brains out because you didn't eat some green vegetable or any kind of fruit that wasn't washed properly, or maybe you ate a piece of raw meat, don't have that happen on your vacation. Don't be shitting your brains out. Head over to OrganifiShop.com, get yourself some green juice powder, type in promo code BUSDRIVER, get yourself 15% off. And now, while you're on the road, while you're traveling, you're going to have a delicious coconut-infused superfood green shake every morning, or at lunch, or in the evening, whatever it is. Beat the bug. Don't get sick. Get some Organifi. And lastly, we have Onnit. Head over to On the Bus Podcast and click on the onnit.com button and check out all of Onnit's amazing, amazing supplements, amazing food products. I myself just got a bunch in, not just Alpha Brain, but I got some New Mood, some Shroomtech Sport, and some Hemp Force Protein. All these products I'm even going to take with me on the road to Yucatan. I'm a gringo. I'm a gringo, and when I get outside the country, I still act like a risk taker. I'm still an adventurous asshole. You got to be on your toes. You got to be vigilant, no matter where you are, in the country, out of the country. I think Mexico is a great place. Not hating on, not ragging on the Mexicans. Love you guys. That's why I'm visiting you guys. But you want to be on your toes. You want to be sharp. But at the same time, you want to get the most out of your vacation. So check out all the amazing products, again, from Alpha Brain, Shroomtech Sport, Shroomtech Immune. Make sure your immune system staying strong while you're traveling, or even while you're working a 40, 50-hour work week. All the products are amazing. I can vouch for it, and I use them myself. Head over to onthebuspodcast.com and check out the link. Now, to the guest. Our guest today is Troy Wiggins. Troy is a long, long time friend of mine. I knew Troy way back in high school, and Troy left to go to college in Belmont University, where he connected and really found his passion, which was drumming. Troy was always an athlete like myself in high school, and he was a drummer in the band, but he really, really, really connected with his passion of drumming. He worked with several musical teachers and artists at Belmont University, which I don't think is that well known as a University for Music Majors, and it's where he met his band Roots of Rebellion. They have released 2 albums. They have been touring, 2 main tours around the nation. They just finished one up for their second album. What was the second album? It's called Heart Effect. No. Brothers Instinct. Heart Effect is the first album. And I love their music. Their music's great. You love and like reggae. You love live music. These guys are for you. We have a great conversation for you. I hadn't seen Troy in 2 or 3 years living abroad, so I was really ecstatic, and I loved this conversation. So without further ado, I'm taking the bus out. Troy, get on. Cue the music.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Takes a few years, but I'm glad I get to see you on the bus. Welcome on board, man. How you doing?
It's good to be here, man. Thanks for having me. Big fan of the show.
We get you here and we get a full studio. I mean, there's never been a full studio. You brought everybody.
This is big time. This is it.
So it's like being a reggae star, man. Or would you just describe your band as reggae?
Yeah, it's definitely... reggae is probably the one thing that all 6 of us can agree on. It's a 6-piece band. 6 totally different people from all different parts of the states. Yeah, definitely rooted in reggae, but, you know, influences from blues to, you know, jam to jazz to hip hop. It's kind of all over the place. It's kind of all over the place, but definitely the one thing we all agree on is the reggae, the dub, the, you know, kind of same stuff that I liked back in the day.
I hear.
Yeah.
Now, did you meet all these people in Nashville? The band's based out of Nashville, correct?
We are, yes. And I met the rest of the guys at Belmont University. I went to school in 08. It's a fairly smaller liberal arts school right downtown Nashville, right next to Vanderbilt. They have great, you know, music program, and I went there for the business school, and they kind of had a music emphasis within that. And I think half of the band is business majors and the other half was music majors. So it's kind of a good mix of, you know, both aspects you need. And
And a good b-ball team, man. I know you were always telling me, yo, Belmont b-ball, man. I know you're at Syracuse, but how about the Belmont boys, dude? We're going to take down Duke this year. And I think you guys did, like, eventually, no?
Very, very, very close. Very close. I think they lost by 1 the year before I got there.
That 3-14. Tough game. Tough battle.
Yeah, but they went to the tournament 2 or 3 times that I was there. You know, they got knocked out pretty quickly. But the fact that, you know, Belmont made it was awesome. And I still think to this day there's not a better fit for Brandon Reese. If not Syracuse, Belmont was the school, man. Belmont was the school.
With my Birmingham swoop back in the day?
It would have been great. Yeah, it would have been great.
Now, you get to Belmont. You met everybody in the band who's in there now?
Yeah, everybody, you know, a couple members have changed over the years, but for about the past 4 years, we've had a consistent, 6-person lineup in the band, and 5 of them graduated from Belmont. Our trumpet player is still going to school at another school in Nashville, but that's where we all met, and it was we became friends really before we started even, you know, the idea of playing in a band or, you know, pursuing this route was even really an option. We were friends hanging out, you know, going to parties and hanging out and just kind of jamming in their house, and that kind of grew into kind of where we're at today.
Now, you drummed in high school. And you're a drummer in this band now, but was there ever a point that you weren't going to continuously be a drummer? Did you have other musical instruments you could play or to slide in to be as good as a drummer?
It was pretty much always drums for me. I picked up guitar and just to kind of have that other element. But, I mean, as you know, growing up, I was a sports guy. You know, music was never the route for me until I kind of got to Belmont and got to Nashville. And you know, before I got there, I thought I could play drums, but, you know, just the caliber of musicians there was just incredible. Like, it blew me away. It really forced me to, you know, get back on the practice grind. And I studied with a guy named Chester Thompson. He was a teacher at Belmont.
Tell me he had a great mustache. That guy, Chester Thompson, sounds like a name with a bold stash.
Back in the day, he had some bold hair, some very bold hair. Mm-hmm. He was with... Frank Zappa and Weather Report, okay. And he's an older guy,
okay.
But he was with some pretty, he was the other guy in Genesis and Phil Collins' band.
Really?
So I started taking lessons with him. It was like 30 minutes a week, and it really just kind of refocused me and kind of refueled my passion for playing drums. And from then on, it was pretty much strictly drums, and
Was that freshman, sophomore year? Or
that was late? That was sophomore and junior year. It was about 2 years, once a week, half an hour lesson. It was intense. It was 30 minutes of you know, pretty intense music that he expected me to come next week prepared and ready. You know, you didn't waste his time, and it was a game changer for how I approached music, and it was definitely a great experience.
And how did the formation of the band like happen? Did you guys, you have a few jam sessions, your friends, you go to parties, you hang out, I'm sure you go to a bunch of live shows together, and you just say like, yeah, we could do this, we could get up there, we got a musical background, you know business now, like, yeah, this is easy. Or how did it come together? How did it come to be?
That's pretty much exactly how it came to be. You know, became friends, started jamming. Hey, you like this band, I like this band, you play this instrument. Started playing, started, you know, that kind of transition, started playing the college parties, you know, the frat gigs and the house parties. And, you know, at that time it was just fun. We never thought it'd be something we actually would do. And a year or two went by of doing it like that. And we all graduated towards the end of our senior year. We kind of started touring a little bit, going outside of Nashville and playing. And we graduated, and you know, we kind of had a little bit of traction, and you know, we said, hey, let's, you know, let's give it a shot, let's see, you know, let's see what we can do with this. And we're still rolling with it.
You guys are, you just released your second album, Brothers Instinct.
That's right.
It came out in July.
That's right.
Ah, man, Dread Culture.
Dread Culture.
Love Dread Culture.
Yeah,
great song.
See, yeah, and that's just, you know, like the six of us are so different that you just get, you know, five of us are songwriters. You just get so many different, you know, views and perspectives and, you know, way people write songs. And that's two of the guys in the band that, you know, they're deep in the Dread culture and they wanted to share about it. And
the lead singer?
There's three guys in the band that actually like trade off doing lead.
Okay.
And two of those three singers wrote the song. And yeah, it's just different, you know, different perspectives on.
There's a great lyric in there. Something about discrimination, but you still don't see the colors of my eyes.
Yep.
It's a good one right there.
That's my man Adam on bass. Yeah, from small town in Ohio, and he moved to Belmont for the same reason. He was a bass major, and
bass major.
Yeah, he majored in playing the bass. If you could, yeah, you can believe that.
I didn't know it was an option.
It 100% is. Yeah, yeah.
And then, what would you say? Is your impact on whether it's writing songs as a drummer? Drummers usually known for throwing their two cents in there, or usually every band, everybody's throwing their two cents in what they want to write, what they want to be in the song.
Yeah, I think it definitely varies between each band, but I think earlier on in the band, it was our guitar player and, you know, kind of frontman, Austin. He wrote everything. We put out an EP where they were all just his songs, and kind of over the years, as we kind of solidified the formation of the band, you know, everybody kind of wants... Everybody's got something to say, and everybody says it different, and you know, that's kind of the, you know, the roots of a rebellion. It's not, you know, it's not just one person, it's five people from different parts. And I got into songwriting a little bit, and I've always liked writing.
Any song in particular now I can go back and listen to and say
on Brothers Instinct? No, but the previous one is an album called Heartifact. I got a song called Wise Words on there.
That's yours.
Yeah, I wrote it about my dad.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so yeah, and I'm sitting on a bunch of stuff that I'd like to at some point incorporate. And you know, I kind of come from a rock background, so you know, while some guys might write from a more pop perspective, some might be from more of a reggae perspective, I got, you know, I kind of try to supply the rock element to the band. And it's kind of what I try to bring in with the songwriting. And you know, I'll write a little riff on guitar and show it to the guys. And you know, once I show it to them, they're such incredible musicians, where you know, I kind of just give them some reins to, you know, hey guys, where should I go with this? You know, what is this, right? Does this sound right? Is this you know, these chord progressions work, this melody work, like tell me what you think. And they kind of help me craft it, because you know, as a drummer, you're very much you know, I'm very just rhythmic bass. You know, when I hear a song, the first thing I'm gonna hear is, you know, what's the drum and bass doing? Mm-hmm. You know, I might not even hear the vocals at first. You know, I want to know, you know, how are the drum and bass working? And so that's kind of the, I think what I tend to bring to the band is that element.
Well, I mean, the last time I saw you play would probably be in high school, and I remember you're throwing a lot of passion behind it. You're shaking your head. Typical drummer, you're in the zone. Obviously, there's a lot more rhythm involved. You know, you got your tap on the bottom. This is that snare.
So you got the snare, is the one you hit with your left hand.
Left hand.
You got
snare,
you got, yeah, your kick drum on your right.
Kick drum. Yeah. Come.
Yeah, you got to come with the kick drum.
Yeah, you got to bring it.
Yeah.
There was another song really liked on Brothers Instinct. Very, very Parisian vibe.
Interesting.
No audio, no sound on that one.
Yep, the instrumental track.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to get my phone out and look at it. But
no, you hit the first couple notes right there.
You got it.
Yeah, no, you're on it.
What song is that?
It's called Half Full.
Half Full, people. Yeah. Go check out Brothers Instinct, Half Full. That song. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun. That's it right there.
Does it for me.
That's it right there. You can sit in with us.
I can just hum.
Yeah.
You need a hummer?
We can't pay you much, but...
Well, the thing about drumming that I found so difficult was, I don't know how you move your hands so fast or how you can stay so rhythmic at such a high pace. Like, did you practice? Is that just come over time? Is it something you did as a kid?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's anything. It's like, you know, I make a lot of parallels to sports. You know, it's the process of repetition and, you know, starting slow, starting at a basic level and just building the fundamentals. And for drumming, one of the things you want to achieve is speed. You know, it's a lot of coordination and speed, really. I played in a little punk band back in the day, so I think that helped the fast chops, you know.
Do you do drills? Like, are there any hand drills that you do or any experiments like that?
Absolutely, yeah. There's what they call rudiments. There's a set of probably like 20 to 30 main rudiments that have been around for, you know, since people were marching in the front of, you know, war.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're called rudiments, and they're just basic strength building exercises that you could kind of incorporate to a drum set. And you know, it's all about building up, you know, both hands. You don't want to be more dominant in one hand. You know, you got your wrist strengths, you got your finger strengths. So yeah, just like, you know, there's sports drills where, you know, you gotta get in the batting cage or you gotta, you know, work on your free throw shot. There's the basic rudiments and the, you know, the fundamentals that you really need to...
You're talking to the wrong guy about practice.
Wait, so what's your okay, so let's say you guys are going out, you're playing in front of an audience. What is your warm-up like?
Yeah, so every show, for the most part, I like to, usually 30 minutes before we go on stage, I like to go back and I'm at the point now where I do like a full body stretch. I've kind of come full circle to realize the importance of kind of stretching the whole body and not just the hands. But really just basic stuff, you know, like, you know, just bending the, you know, the wrist back, the forearm back and your fingers limb, you know, any basic stretch you would do for a sport, I pretty much incorporate, you know, in that 30 minutes before. And then I'll go to like a drum pad. I'll just get a pair of sticks and a drum pad, and you really just gotta get that motion going. You know, similar sports is something you don't want to go in too cold. I learned that lesson over the years doing it, and you just see, you know, how much better you're able to perform.
Just like a sport, man.
It really is, man. Yeah. And like, exactly. You know, yeah.
Now you guys released this album in July. Did you guys do a tour for it yet, or is the tour coming up?
We've been touring for the most part since July off of this record.
Okay.
We did a big like 4-month, we called it the Brothers Instinct Tour. We're kind of, you know, we kind of carried that through last month. November was kind of the first time we separated. We joined with a different band for the month of November. But yeah, that's kind of the thing now, you know, as an artist and as a band, the money's not in record sales anymore. It's, you know, as you guys know, it's on the road, it's touring. Mm-hmm. And when you put out an album, you know, you kind of have to tour on it. You got to make sure word gets out about it. And so we came pretty much January through October. We were kind of on the Brothers Instinct Tour, we called it, and just try to get the word out.
Awesome. And where would how far did you guys travel to for this tour? Farthest south, east, northwest? Because you're based out of Nashville. Where's the farthest you guys have gone?
Yeah, so we've gone from Boston to Colorado, Texas, to the Virgin Islands.
Wow.
So pretty much east of Colorado.
East of Colorado.
Yeah.
Just like Coors Light. Can't take it east, Colorado. Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah, man. So that's been the...
Shout out to Burt Reynolds.
Great man. Hell of a man.
Great man.
No, Clint Eastwood.
Give him his run for his money, though. I mean,
Clint Eastwood now is just, just a senile old man. Just hates foreigners, loves Americans, and loves Donald Trump.
Oh, I bet he's a huge Trump supporter.
Huge Trump supporter. I actually have a good idea for you guys. Donald Trump's still looking for somebody to serenade him at his honorary dinner. Maybe it could be you guys. Instead, you know, maybe you don't believe in actually what he believes in or what he says, but all your lyrics, you know, about positivity, you know, and good vibes. Maybe it's like a reverse, you know, you're just throwing it out there and just trolling him in a way.
It would be a serious troll, I think. So he still hasn't found somebody to play?
I don't think so. I mean, there was the best part was like one of his spokesmen saying, oh yeah, Elton John, he's coming. We got him. Elton John's like, no shot would I ever come there and sing for you. Fuck you.
Yeah. No. I mean, you think you get like, I don't know, like Hank Williams Jr. or somebody.
You would think that's your typical Republican guy, but who's going to sing? Are you ready for some football at the White House dinner?
That's a good point. Valid point.
Then you'd have to start serving chicken wings. They had to bring Coors Light east of the Rockies again, and it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Not it. When are you guys getting back on tour?
So we ended this past week. We had our first little, our last little weekend tour we did. We'll take all of December, the rest of December, and all of January off, actually. We've pretty much been going strong for the last 2 years, and it'll probably be the most time we take off. And we plan on using it, you know, just songwrite and just jam. Do a lot of stuff you really don't get to do when you're on the road a lot, and you're always kind of preparing for the next gig and, you know, creating a new set that's different than, you know, the one you were in the city last time at. And you're always kind of preparing for that next gig, next show, when you don't really have time to just, you know, submerge yourself in the creative process and the, you know, you're in a room just jamming, bouncing off ideas. And that's kind of the foundation of where we started. So that's kind of what we're going to take some time off in January and do that.
I didn't even get at you too about where's like your biggest or your like biggest stage been? Where's your biggest marquee moment, biggest crowd where you're like, wow, we made it to this point so far. Never thought we'd make it here.
Yeah. There's been several venues in Nashville we've gotten to play that are just, you know, when I got there, it's just like, I never thought I'd play. There's a big month-long weekend festival in September called Live on the Green they do. And it's a big, free, outdoor, downtown, middle of Nashville concert event. Several thousands of people come out on this big grass lawn. And we got to play that. And it was, you know, kind of the first time where you're on a stage and for as far as you can see, it's just heads in the crowd. And that was a pretty surreal moment. A couple other, you know, good shows that we've been able to be on that, you know, it's just like, wow, I'm on this stage right now.
I know you guys got to play at Bonnaroo this year. That's huge.
And Bonnaroo is definitely up there as well. This year was a, you know, a stepping stone for us with some of the bigger festivals. We did Bonnaroo. We did Hangout down in the Gulf Shores.
That's in Alabama, right?
Yep. Yeah. Great festival. Great festival, yeah. You know, definitely different than your, you know, your Suwannee Halloween or, you know, some of the headier festivals.
Well, I know, like, that panhandle you got to be careful about. You know, you get some critters, some people who never made it out of the panhandle, whether it was for spring break or if it was for a music festival. So I try to avoid the panhandle. I don't want to get stuck there myself. I felt like the bus could get stuck there for a long time.
Yeah, no, you don't want to go there. Yeah, but it was a great festival. I mean, the lineup was awesome. You know, totally different, all different types of acts. You know, it's the type of festival where they're done by like 12 o'clock, which, you know, for, you know, a band like us where we're playing festivals where we're, you know, we played a couple this summer where we're playing at like 3 a.m., you know? So the fact we had a festival like Hangout where, you know, 12 o'clock rolls around and we're like, hey, guys, we can pack it up for the night.
What do we do now?
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, definitely Bonnaroo was definitely up there too, you know, being a kind of a hometown festival and won the magnitude of Bonnaroo. It was pretty surreal.
And outside of Nashville, where would you say, like, you know, do you have a good fan base and a good reach at? Would it be down here, place where you're from, and or wherever the majority of the band is from as well?
That was the foundation of kind of where we built the fan base. We're definitely in the process of building up the Southeast. Okay. We kind of see a lot of potential with the music we're doing in the Southeast because, you know, in the reggae realm, you go over to the West Coast, you know, it's massive. It's actually surprisingly big up in the Northeast, the East Coast. Yeah. It's big in Florida. But there's this kind of hub of, you know, 20, 30 bands within, you know, Kentucky, Tennessee, Alabama, the Carolinas, Georgia, that's, you know, it's kind of a scene on the rise that I'd say that's kind of been our focus the past year touring. And, you know, there's several cities within the Carolinas. You know, you got Nashville, Chattanooga, Knoxville. You got a couple spots in Kentucky, a couple spots in Georgia. I'd say those are probably our strong markets. We've been out to Colorado 3 times now, so that's kind of becoming a good market for us. But primarily the Southeast, and it's kind of, I'd say, is our strong suit.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Do you guys Do you guys do anything outside of like just for marketing that's outside of touring and word of mouth?
Just aside from all the other just necessities, you know, you got your, you know, your social media, you got your email marketing. Aside from that, it's touring and word of mouth is really, like you said, that's the bread and butter right there. That's what'll do it for you. You know, a lot of these artists now, they're really shifting towards, you know, they have a digital marketer on their team that,
yeah,
it's incredible what some of these bands are able to do now, just exposure wise, you know, after just playing for a couple years, because they have one of those guys that, you know, might have been at a, you know, big business doing those type of services, but, you know, now they operate for a band, and that's definitely becoming a major part of it, I'd say. But definitely touring and word of mouth is, you know, you can't beat that.
Nuts, nuts. Yeah, we were
organic
just gonna,
growth, yeah. Unbeatable.
And yeah. We're just gonna order a Pakistani or an Indian person to do it, but you want somebody from one of these digital marketing empires.
Yeah, and you got to know the industry. You know, you got to know, you know, the music and the industry and what people are listening to, and you know what venues, what markets you're playing, and yeah, Daniel, like you kind of touched on, we're very much like a you know, like a ground up grassroots style band. You know, we build our draw based off you know great live shows and fan interaction, and that's definitely like the base of our business, that we just try to really just put on a great show. And be personable and be present and build that, you know, it's really one fan at a time, and
right.
That's definitely the route we've been going.
There's something almost like if you start hiring someone digital, it almost feels like contrived or fake, I feel like a little bit, because as a grassroots band or as someone who is doing something creative that's trying to share like your inner beauty and joy, you want people to discover that instead of kind of forcing it on them. But still, in the same sense, you want to give people the ability to discover you. So yeah, I think word of mouth is a cool is the best way to go, definitely.
Absolutely,
still the best way to go about it. Oral history, except personal accounts when you ask somebody what they saw at a thing, or they saw an event happen. Like, oh my god, there was a UFO, and oh my god, they beamed me up to the thing. And then they went in my butthole. Apparently, that's the same thing in every story. Someone going in your butt for rectal examinations. That's just the same consensus story. It's like, get out of here.
Hey, at some point when you hear the same story over and over again, you start to believe it, my friend.
Hook, line, and sinker. Now, you do you have anybody you've listened to as far as a musical group? Any music you can go back to, you need inspiration, whether it's before a show or you want to write something? Is there like a one certain musician, band, or artist that you can say, I'm going to go listen to him right now, I need some inspiration? Do you have one?
If I had to pick one, which is tough, there's a band out of Rochester, New York called Giant Panda Gorilla Dub Squad.
Heard of them.
They are a
great name.
Oh, man. They've been around for 10, 15 years, and they just, as far as what I would like to do with the band, they just kind of do it the best, in my opinion. They're, you know, they border the roots reggae, they border the jam band, they got a little rock, they got a little blues. You know, they have, you know, they'll play for 2 hours, and, you know, they might connect, you know, 4 songs that, you know, just, it just keeps the crowd engaged. And their whole model is just their grassroots fan base, and, you know, the road warriors, and great songwriters, great musicians. So probably, if I had to say, I would go with them. But, you know, music comes with your current mood. You know, sometimes I got to put on some Herbie Hancock to get in the mood. Sometimes I got to put on some old Benassi from back in the day. Some, you know, I got to put on some, you know, Alabama Shakes, you know, some Chance the Rapper, some, it really all depends on the mood. But,
that's what I love about the shuffle on my phone, man. It's out of nowhere, I'll get some Tchaikovsky, maybe some Wagner, and you're switching over some Rocket Man. You're seeing Elton John just belt it out, and just like, holy shit.
Yeah,
this guy's throwing it right now. Some passion in this one right now.
It's important. Yeah, it's important. I've always loved diverse music, and just from a creative standpoint too, you kind of need to that wide spectrum to keep the creative juices flowing. And yeah, that's kind of the.
That's what for me. Going to one of the festival, went there with Blum, Suwannee Halloween. We were talking about it. It was just nuts. Just having such a wide array from, you got Greenski Bluegrass over here, then you're going to see some techno over here at Brodinski, and all of a sudden you're at Anderson Paak and the Free Nationals.
Great, great
guy's
artist.
A nuts drummer.
Great artist, yeah.
Oh, big he's fan. Incredible. Big he's fan. He's a monster right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, I hear great things about that Swanee, man. I got to check that out.
He did a whole freestyle about like a dialogue between him and his mom and just switching
while up. While he's drumming.
Like talking about Jordans, and then mom saying, "You're not going to be a good boy. No, 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 you're not going to be a good boy." He's like, "Mama, please, give me the Jordans, give me the Jordans." They switch it up and switch dialogue to his mom. Just on his own. Everybody's taking a break real quick. It's nuts.
Oh, man, I got to catch that. Yeah, his band's nasty, too.
They're actually going to be at that Okeechobee Festival in March.
I've heard of that. Yeah, newer festival, right? Couple years, the Okeechobee?
I think it's second year.
Second year?
Second year, and decent lineup. It's a weird collaboration, too. They got Usher with The Roots.
Usher performing with The Roots?
With The Roots.
Badass. With The Roots, yes.
Wow. Who I just heard this morning announced they're coming out with a new album, The Roots.
Really?
Big fan, yeah.
They're doing something for New Year's. I don't know if it's down here. Some like private performance, but you can buy a ticket to.
Really?
Intimate performance with The Roots.
Any chance you get to see The Roots, see them. They are like full throttle, in your face. Like, they are sick.
What about you for festivals? I mean, do you still get to go out and see musical talent? I know Nashville is a great musical town, but do you get to go out to a music festival still? Do you still get your time, you know, to go hang out with your girlfriend and see a show, or do you go together with the group? How does that go down?
Yeah, a little bit of both. So, you know, this past, you know, 5-6 months is kind of what, you know, is festival season, you know, and
festival season never ended, man.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, so the bulk of the festivals that I've been to the last couple years were ones we've been playing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we are fortunate, you know, there are perks where you get, you know, to take people, and I've got to take my girlfriend to several. We went, you know, traveled all summer to, you know, the big festivals and the small festivals. And yeah, being in Nashville, I mean, if I'm in town for a week, I'm gonna go see somebody in town. Every night of the week, there's 10 clubs with 10 incredible artists, musicians, bands, DJs that are just killing it. And, I'm really into that. My girlfriend's really into live music, and but most of the festivals were the ones we play at, you know. And you know, about half of them, it's the type of deal where we'll bunk up for the weekend, a couple of days. We'll bring our tents and we'll play our set, and we'll hang out with the festival culture people. And I'm sure both of y'all are familiar with the festival culture and.
Giraffes and trolls.
I mean, that sums it up pretty well. And some fire poi sticks and some.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, you know, a lot of the ones we've done some of the big ones, but a lot of the ones we do are the middle size. You know, they might be more local, more regional type festivals that have a lot of up and coming artists with maybe a couple big headliners, and those are kind of predominantly the ones we play. Are the kind of up and coming mid size grassroots festival that, you know, are. For our fans, you know, it's a great way to establish yourself and get a fan base. And so that's kind of, and with those festivals, you know, you just never know what to expect. You just never know.
You don't.
It,
especially if you're going to start bunking up and camping. I mean, you never bring the right tools. You never bring the right amount of clothes. You forget a towel. You're not showering. You know, but it's also a really cool thing to share those dirty, disgusting moments, you know, with a cool group of people, whether it's like, okay, some people won't even share a water bottle. It's like, in everyday regular life, there at the festival, it's like, nah, pass the water bottle over. I need this. I don't know when I'm going to get some water again. I'd go all the way back to the campsite. Let me just share my water bottle. Something as simple as that, just getting a closer connection with your fellow human right there.
Man, that's yeah, go ahead, Daniel.
No. Yeah, you just get to share those moments of what it's like to be truly human, just for even like a fleeting moment. Like Brandon was saying, you forget your water bottle and someone shares with you, or you have something extra and you get to pass that off to someone. And it's like, you don't really know what's going to come at you, but you're going to get moments from every end of the spectrum, like from love to anger and that you forgot something to someone solving that problem for you. Yeah, festivals are unbeatable.
Someone's definitely going to find your phone. Don't worry if you lose it, someone will bring it back to you.
Yeah. That's the best thing, man. When you get some of these festivals and you can actually feel like the community vibe, you know, that's what it's all about. And, you know, I've definitely, I'm sure y'all have too. You've been to ones where, you know, maybe that vibe isn't always there, but the best festivals are the ones where, like, you know, you're all in it together, you know, as rough as the conditions may be, you know, as challenging as it might be to get through some of those days, like, if you're there with like-minded people that, you know, have the same spirit and heart and feel that community vibe, like that's the best right there. Those are those magical experiences. And those are the ones we try to seek out, you know, that people are there for the right reason.
Especially when you can roll it over into your everyday life and someone look at me like, oh, thank you so much. Like, no, man, just this. Like, here's a piece of food or something. Like, just have it. I don't need it. I don't want it anymore.
Yeah.
They think it's like the nicest thing in the world, but it's just
being a human being.
I just enjoy sharing something with you, and that's it. I'm not a socialist. I don't want to give half of my money to you. Just sharing my sandwich with you, man. Just because you're suffering or you look like you need it and I don't really need it.
That's what it's about, man. Totally.
The awareness.
Brandon, do you know the history of festivals in general? That could be like any festival. I feel like they have to go back deep into the human history.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you look at something like Harvest or The Harvest. You know, it really was developing, you know, our food. We can only do it on a year basis. And we had to wait till that time of year, especially in the Northern Hemisphere, in October, September. And you look at a lot of the three major religions, like, you know, Judaism with Sukkot, and Christianity and Islam, they stick to those same religions as well, like a celebration of the harvest. Like, it's a festival. Everybody comes together, and they would come down from this location and that location. You think about Jerusalem for Israel, and people would always come down to the temple. We're going to sacrifice a few goats. We're going to sacrifice some sheep. We're going to eat them, or we're just going to spill the blood out because God's looking and he's watching. But it's a thing where everybody could come together, and they could take time. And I think even like a holiday is a festival itself. And, you know, you look at different religions, you know, they have a day of Sabbath and a day of rest for everybody to get together, everybody to come together, you know, and, you know, break bread together or do some kind of activity together and take time from their normal stay. And, I mean, if you want to call a festival like a holiday, whether you're going out there for the weekend, you're technically taking time away. You're sharing that time with other people. And, I mean, at all these events or festivals over time, I mean, they had dancing, they had music, they had singing, they had bards. It's a... We're awareness. This is festivals. We're gonna look back and say they had a holiday every weekend. They called it festival season.
Yeah, festival season. It's like a way to hone almost your our innate competitive drives that we have. I mean, when you look back at maybe even the Greeks when they would come together and they would do competitions, or you look at the Middle Ages where they would do knights on jousting on their horses, and they would do competitions. But the competition was a way to bring people together to watch and to share something, share a skill that you had with each other. And whether win or lose, you're trying to win, obviously, as you would know that, Brandon, in basketball. But it's still more about the competitive drive that you're able to share with other people, I feel.
Beautiful. Beautifully well said. Dude, I hope you can make soccer. This guy over here on the phone, he's... great soccer star as well. He's going to be at soccer tonight.
There is no soccer this evening.
What?
No soccer.
Shit.
Yeah, I might have to bail out of that one too, man. There's one thing about the road life is it doesn't really, not really suitable for keeping an active fitness routine. And I got to say, I'm a little out of shape, man.
Why you step out?
I'd be gassed, man.
Get back on the horse. Get back on your bus.
You're right. I need to. The bus needs to be... be driven.
What do you do on the road? Say you got a good stretching routine, but is there anything else you do? Any other exercising or, you know, eating healthy? I mean, I don't know about, can imagine traveling from college campus to college campus or bar to bar. You don't find your greens. You don't find much nutrition out there.
It's two of the hardest things, man, is getting sleep and staying well fed and staying healthy. It's been my two biggest challenges, and it's always something I like doing. I like getting sleep and I like being healthy, but I like... past year or two, I just carry a skateboard in the van. We get to these cities and we have a little bit of downtime. It's my way of kind of seeing the places. And
you're still a Lord of Dogtown, aren't you?
I'm still deep down. I'm still Andy Peralta type. as far as that, but you know, a bunch of the guys I play with, they're really into, you know, nature and hiking. And if we're at a cool location, whether it's the Carolina Mountains or Colorado, and you know, we maybe have a half day off or a day off, we'll find the closest hike and we'll definitely get out and do that. You know, find some swimming holes.
You're right there on the Appalachian Trail too, over there.
It's incredible out there, man. I love it out there. That's people ask like, what's your favorite place to travel? Like the, you know, East Tennessee, West Carolinas is one of my favorite. Some of those Asheville, Boone, Silva, some of those small mountain towns.
Blue Ridge Parkway.
Blue Ridge, yeah, incredible out there.
Sliding Rock. Yeah, I grew up in traveling to West Carolina all the time.
Nice.
They call that God's country.
It's incredible, yeah, man.
He's roped it off.
Like, you know,
I build a wall. No one's getting in there.
No, preserve it. No, you know, we go to Colorado and I love the Rockies, but there's still something about those Appalachian Mountains and Blue Ridge Trails that is just, there's something special about them. And every time we go out there, I love it. I love it.
Most Americans don't realize the amount of amazing scenery, amazing terrain that this country has to offer. I mean, even me, I've not explored or seen enough of it, especially out west, even, you know, the Appalachian Trail area.
Yeah.
And I'm really looking forward to get after. I mean, Texas, Arizona, Utah. I mean, the world's second biggest salt flats. People go down to Bolivia for the world's biggest in Uyuni. I'm saying it right.
Okay.
But that one in Salt Lake City, which is a huge salt flat. And if it was second biggest and as incredible as the one in Bolivia, it's like, that's what, a three, 4 hour flight, and it's right there in my back pocket.
Yep.
You just don't take advantage of it.
No, you don't, and you just don't realize it. You know, it's until you get out there and get on the road and experience these things, you don't have no idea the beauty that, you know, the states have. Really, you know, it's incredible. It's incredible.
Getting outside your comfort zones and getting out there, though.
That's what it's about. It's
the same thing that happened to me with traveling. You know, it's like, oh, I was going to travel, and it took my buddy, you know, saying, hey, I got a plane ticket, $400 to Paris. Like, you want to go? Like, oh, I don't have a job yet. I just finished college, and I'm supposed to go to Israel for a basketball tryout. Is Europe's close to Israel? Yeah, sure, Steve. I'll get on the plane with you. And mom's driving to the airport, crying. She's like, you're not gonna have a job. You're a bum. And I'm like, ah. All right, we're getting out. We're gonna walk to the airport now. We're just getting out and experiencing that. Just again, very something similar to a festival. You know, just no schedule, no plan. You wake up every day and say, oh, what can we do today? We're in a city we only hear about, you know, in history textbooks or through reading. It's like, we're in Paris, and you know, we go see the Eiffel Tower. I got a great idea. Let me buy some stale baguettes and let's have a sword fight. This is something four Americans would do. So we had a baguette sword fight under the Eiffel Tower.
Why wouldn't you?
It's a bucket list right there.
Why wouldn't you?
I had a pretty mean welt after that one, but the Australian chick, she was even not offended, but just like, Americans. I had her videotape the entire thing.
Well, they could have seen us back in the day. They would have.
I mean, I knew you'd jump in if we had that going on.
100%, yeah.
Baguette sword fights.
So how scavenger long hunts under the Eiffel Tower. Yeah, definitely.
You got to think scene. You got to think location. I mean, it's either Notre Dame, you get the Champs.
The Louvre.
The Champs d'Elysees. Well, we took some booms and we went inside the Van Gogh Museum. And that was pretty intense. I don't know how we didn't get thrown out of there. But apparently, it's on the list of things to do in, like, guidebooks. It's to, you know, take some sort of substance and go into the art museum. So,
really?
We were just following the guidebook, you know. Frommer's.
It was in our textbooks.
Try not to have a panic attack. And try. But, I mean, once you're in an art museum with some, you're just being more abstract than the other viewers. You're sitting on the floor in the middle of the room with your hands crossed. Looking at the art, it's like, oh no, he's really seeing something over here. Let me just watch him.
Yeah, no, he feels it. He understands.
Any aspirations for the band to go outside the U.S. besides the Virgin Islands? You guys have a fan base or a following? Have people connected with you, like in Europe, Australia?
Yeah, definitely. I think the first two places we'd like to go is, you know, Europe. You know, probably, you know, France has a pretty thriving, you know, not only music scene, but huge reggae following. South America, you know, reggae, the rock, that type of genre is massive. Definitely is a goal of ours in the next, you know, couple years to get outside. And because, you know, those people, they love music out there. They mm-hmm. love music of all types. And, you know, that's kind of our, you know, we put you through a lot of different, you know, sounds and emotions and styles of music when we play. So I think it would be very receptive to people in those countries. And we'll take it anywhere. Anywhere it needs to be heard, you know?
With any artist, it seems like when they're trying to convey their message or they're asking, you know, what do I do on stage? What am I trying to do? It seems like he's trying to take someone on a journey. Take someone on a journey, whether they're the track list, the same track list is on a CD, or if someone's listening to it on a shuffle, they're going to make sure that they set everything up, that it's going to be like take you from A to B, and you're just going to have an amazing, great time. And like you say, when you're trying to give someone a brand new experience coming to your show, you're setting up the set list and the track list. Okay, we're going to throw something from our EP over here, do one from Heart Effect, we're going to play something from Brothers Instinct. But you're trying to piece it together and just move somebody or just take them to a place that's not here through your music.
You couldn't have said that better. Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, at the end of the day, it's show business. You know what I mean? It's you're there to entertain people. You're there to make people happy. And that's all part of it, is just the construction of the experience. And that's the set list, the order, what songs you throw in, the old songs, the new songs, the unheard songs, the extended jams, the instrumentals. You know, it's all about, you know, giving them that ride of emotions of the good and the bad, and giving them experience, giving them a show. You know, that's what they want. That's what they worked hard to make that money that they're paying to come see you. So, mm-hmm. You know, don't half-ass it.
Do you guys have some kind of a message board or blog where people go on there and they're like, "Ooh, I heard Roots play this song, and I think it's an ID. I didn't ID that track list right there. Does anybody know this song right here? I think it was at a minute 47 of their live set at Bonnaroo." Do you have those people? Do you have that following?
Some people for sure. You know, after the show, they'll be like, "Dang, you haven't played that in like 3 years," or like, "What was that song? I never heard it."
But, That's cool.
Something we'd like to get into is kind of there's that website Live Archive that's pretty big for you know, you could upload live sets. And, you know, whether it's Grateful Dead, Fish, you know,
et cetera,
string cheese, bruh. people are really into that. And personally, I'm really into that too. Like, you know, there's several bands that, you know, I'll go back and I'll download a show from 2007. You know what I mean? I just think that's so cool to hear them in 2007 and to see them this year, just the progression they've made. And that's how you build that dedicated fan base, you know? So that's something we want to get going, is uploading live sets, you know, good high quality live sets of a tight performance that, you know, people can look back on, and whether it's a show they attended or a show they didn't attend, and they could download it and they could have that reaction of you know, hearing different stuff.
Do you have a page anywhere, whether it be a SoundCloud page or a Spotify? Do you have like your own private account on there, or how does that work, so someone could find your guys' music in particular? Or do you have any live sets out there, like on a page like that?
We have all, I mean, any site that you can get music on, you know, we're pretty much on. We have a page dedicated for us, whether it's Spotify, SoundCloud, Bandcamp, you know, Facebook, YouTube. Probably next year we're sitting on, I think, like 5 live shows from this past year that we're going to put online for people. Different festivals, different shows that we, you know, had somebody come out and record them. And so that's something we definitely want to get into this next year, and hope that, you know, they spread.
On the idea of those live shows, like, that's one of my favorites. Like, going back, playing a live set from something and reliving that whole experience. And you're able to connect with those emotions. But, I mean, you're able to connect with those feelings and emotions, because anytime listening to music, because that's what music does. This guy over here, Kaz, this Japanese guy living on my couch, he'll tell you, I'll get in the car and I'll start jamming to a song, and he's watching me just slap the drums and just bang the steering wheel. Boom, 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 boom. I'm just going bananas, whether it's on the way to work or I just finished a long day and just feeling good and feeling great. But, I mean, music's just able to touch something deep inside of you. Sounded kind of gay right there. But
deep inside you.
Been able to move you and rock you and just say, ah, man. Ah, even if you don't even maybe ever seen the song, seen the set perform live. And it's like, I can still, like, the lyrics, for example, for Foo Fighters, Pretender, before I'm about to go play a game or a sporting event, like, I'm blasting that on there. Just can't be the pretender. I got to go out there and I got to kill somebody in this game. No one's going to beat me. I'm not the pretender today. That'll get me.
Yeah.
That'll move me. By the way, how is that that coffee treating you at the MC2O?
It's phenomenal.
Give you a little alpha brain?
The alpha brain's definitely kicking in.
Are you normally this smooth talking?
No.
Nah?
No, I'm usually stuttering, coughing, sneezing.
You are very smooth, definitely.
It's got me right.
It's that brain.
Yeah, the MCT will do that to you. What about beta hydroxy?
I didn't give him any beta hydroxy. It's sitting right in front of him, though, and he's really tempted to try some. He's scratching his neck. He's chewing on his finger.
That's the stuff that when you put that down, expect the rest of your day to be as fruitful and optimized as possible.
That's what it's about, right?
It's nuts. Like, I took some last night before a basketball game I played with some MC2O, like a shot of it. And like I said, I'm jumping even higher. I should have put that windmill down. I can't believe I almost put a windmill down. I was not jumping that high when I was playing collegiately, professionally. Like,
you had a windmill, almost a windmill.
Almost a windmill. I put down a two-hander alley-oop. I put down a one-hander I send you the video of. It's some of these products, man. They're great. They're nuts, and it's nothing out of the ordinary. It's just you putting down just better stuff than you normally put down. Whether it's taking the sugars out, carbs, fat's in.
I'm curious, man. Yeah, we got to have a little post interview talk about some of this stuff, because I'm definitely interested, especially, you know, being on the road and, you know, being having that active lifestyle. It's important, I know.
That's what we want to take with this Save the Dina tour in South America, just being able to do these things every day through the medium of traveling. And if we can stay healthy, stick to this healthy diet, you know, it's not that we're avoiding doing fun stuff that people normally do on the road, but it's not a vacation. It's our life. You know, a lot of people, I think they missed out of the idea or didn't connect with Kevin, one of our last podcast guests, because Kevin was someone who does this for a living. You know, this is not a vacation for him. You know, he's every day getting to travel and experience. And if he's got to put a few hours into working, maybe, you know, or doing some kind of task, that's great for him. It's something that, you know, maybe if he was on a vacation, he wouldn't have the time to connect with people on a whole different level than he gets to with this. So when we take this to South America on this bus tour, it's, you know, us doing it every day, and we're not missing out on anything. If anything, we're gonna get even more out of our day, taking that extra time to meditate in the morning, taking that extra time to do a 30-minute or hour workout and eat those proper things. So now we're not needing a nap in the middle of the day, you know. Maybe we'll join in on the siesta. It's part of the culture. But we're getting a little more out of it now. We're getting our full day. We're getting full 15, 16 hours of getting stuff done, whether it's working on this podcast, working on the blogs, working on the YouTube channel, or getting out and exploring, going on a hike, you know, trekking a glacier in Patagonia, rustling up some cattle in the middle of with some caballeros in Argentina. We're doing it all, and we're getting to experience it. And I think it's some of these things that will definitely contribute to you on the road, even the entire band.
Yeah, I'd love to learn more, for sure.
What are you using on tour? Like, do you use anything for energy?
Big fan of coffee, man. Big fan of coffee. I'm on a strict coffee and vitamin C regimen, you know.
Vitamin C.
Yeah.
What kind of coffees do you drink besides, I gave you some cold brew today. How was that cold brew?
Cold brew is fantastic, man. I'm looking into some of that stuff too, but
Publix.
Publix, is that where it's
Publix,
at?
Publix, that one's right there. It's on sale now, but it's usually about $9.99. This one's $7 or $8. And again, you only need a 4-ounce serving. Throw a little almond milk in there, some MCT, and how do you feel now?
Great. I like the cold brew too. You know, during the summer, it's great. But yeah, big coffee fan, and aside from that, not much. So that's kind of why I'm curious, you know, talk to you guys a little more about the way y'all are optimizing you guys are on it.
Literally. Was that a plug right there?
That might have been.
You're on sneaky. It? Beat him some more MCT.
That might have been it.
Oh, he's good. Head over to onthebuspodcast.com and click on the link on it link, and go down there and get some great supplies such as Alpha Brain, Shroom Tech, some good blends of cordyceps mushrooms, great for energy and cardiovascular health. You're looking for something to enhance your endurance, whether you're playing a sporting event, whether you're drumming 2-3 hours on stage and you just want to be able to hit all those notes and give those people a good show, the Shroom Tech's where to go, man. I like to up it and take more than 3, sometimes 5, but I'm just trying to push my limits and boundaries, see how far I can take this this meat vehicle right here.
You've always been one to push the limits, B-Reese, that's for sure.
I can't help myself.
Okay, you got to respect it.
That's what you do with all this stuff, whether it's the MCT oil, because you got to be careful with that, because you take too much of that might empty your insides. Be careful of the MCT. Like, literally, destroy your insides. I haven't taken it there yet, but a lot of people who are new to it, I'll give them a shot of the Keto Force, beta hydroxy, and that.
Yeah.
They tell me they didn't make it out of the house today. It was a tough day. Brandon.
Well, if you're going to give everyone the advice, you know, maybe it's time for you to push the threshold and know what the other side of things is like.
There you go.
I have upped it, though. I've upped it to 4 tablespoons a serving. And you're only supposed to do a teaspoon's a minimal, up to 6 tablespoons. I've upped it recently. And I'm handling it. But I like to think of myself as above human beings. So, I mean, I won't get into the whole ego thing now. I mean, I'm waiting for my next, you know, ayahuasca trip to just really demoralize me, you know, bring me back down to grassroots, but that'll happen. South America 2017.
That's a whole separate podcast right there, man.
It definitely is. Yeah, we're constantly testing and optimizing our bodies, like, to see what, teetering with what works really well. Oh, what kind of raspberries can I eat this morning, and what is the effect going to be? Like, I can feel it. When I eat raspberries, I can feel the, like, little pop of sugar in my body that I probably shouldn't be having. And then, you know, when I test, like, Brandon's testing MCT levels. So he texted me the other day, like, I've decided to up to, like, 4 scoops.
Four tablespoons.
Like a big increase just to see what might happen. Like how many people are willing to do that with their bodies? Not that many. We're willing to do it for people and show you that you can do this and over like only a short period you can optimize your own body so that you feel infinitely better about yourself, so that you wake up every day and have so much more energy. And then you can share that with other people. Like, look, I was a food and resource economics major. So the food industry and the food markets, they generally are very disappointing to me because of what they portray for everybody is good for you is not good for you at all. But like, just like the way that you share your music organically with people, like we want to share great health with people and good lifestyle and living a long, like exciting life where you can do things you want to do and then feel great while you do it. Like you don't have to be on the road eating, you know, Jamaican beef patty. Well, I'd love to eat a Jamaican beef patty. I would love to eat a Jamaican beef patty. So let's cut that one out.
49 grams of carbs right there. Trust me. I know.
Yeah, it's spicy. The one with the red dot on it too.
Gotta
like,
go
you
red
get
dot.
That from a good Jamaican place. Yeah.
That's that spice.
Please. Oh, you're grassroots. You gotta reggae. Like you'd be eating some great food on the road. Do you? I'm curious. Like, what are some of the good meals you've been given from people?
Some good meals we've been given.
Some good diner food as well. I'm sure.
Some great late night diner food. Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, everywhere we go, you know, there's usually somebody, whether a friend, a family, or a stranger, that's willing to put us up in their house, sleep for the night, cook us a meal. And there's no telling what you're going to get. You know, we've had, you know, from all the crazy American food you can imagine to, you know, we've had Ethiopian food. We've had Indian food. We've had, we had some Vietnamese food for the first time. It's incredible.
Good food.
It's incredible.
Did you get the pho?
I'm new to the pho and I'm a fan.
It's good.
I'm a fan of the pho.
The Ethiopian food is so incredible. When I grew up, there was this guy who had operated an illegal Ethiopian restaurant out of his backyard, and we would go there, and he would have chicken that would be for like 4 or 5 days sitting in these pots, and like the spiciest, most incredible chicken. I mean, just. Wow, yeah, Ethiopian food's pretty good.
It is, man. Yeah, they got the little sponge bread you eat with your hands. It's a little,
Yes.
I forget what they call it, but yeah, it's like Ethiopian food is served on like a big platter, and it's got a big like sponge pita type thing that you break off from it, and you kind of use the sponge pita bread
to grab your food
with us all with the hands. And
one of my coworkers in Kuwait, for my first year there, he told me like when he got back, like, listen, man, take advantage of the food out there. You know, we call it ethnic. But just, you know, the Arabic food, the Indian food, Pakistani, all the food that you can get out there. Just take advantage of it, man. And I got a few places back here. You know, I know I got a good Israeli spot, for example. You know, I go to get, I think it's the best shawarma in the world I've had. Sorry, Israelis, Kuwaitis. You know, this place is the best, man. This is the best. But there's one place I used to get, like it was a Arab and Indian restaurant. I'd get some good chapati and some good beef gravy. And I mixed that in with some shish tawouk. And it was... I can't find that here. And that was like my go-to. I had a rough, like a long day at work. Like, I need that shish tawouk, wrap it up in the chapati, dip it in the gravy. And just, that was a ticket right there. And I just can't find an Indian spot still where I get some chapati down here. So any of you listeners, please reach out to me and tell me where I get some good chapati down here. I'm aching for it. In my knees. I'm weak. Weak for the chapati.
Never had it. Let me know when you get the plug.
It's like a naan, but it's sweeter. Okay. Almost like a crepe.
Okay.
And...
Oh, man. I'll try just about
predominantly
anything.
Predominantly for dessert, but you can throw it in everything, man. Like, you look at me now, like, I'm trying to keep my eyes open just thinking about chapati. Like, it's taking me places.
I got it. All right, let's move this onto a food tour, I think.
Let's change that, yeah. Roots of a food tour. Yeah, I got to find out how to operate the AC in here.
Dude, we left Nashville. It was 20 degrees, man. So I'm gonna soak all this in.
Yeah, I saw that. You always see those weather charts, and it says like it's they show what the color certain cities will show the temperature for. In Florida, it was 82, and the next thing closest, like in the 50s or 40s. Apparently, an Arctic cold front coming in. We're so lucky down here, man.
That's incredible. And
taking this guy to the beach to do training the other morning, it was like, why don't I come here? And the water was perfect. I think it was like in the low 70s. I'm taking colder showers recently, again, for health purposes. I feel more energetic after and taking that warm shower.
Interesting.
And fuck, I dove in the water and it was just fucking pristine. I was like, oh my God, I'm awake now. This is incredible.
Yeah.
I got to come here every day.
Yeah.
Why don't I? I live 2-3 miles away and you just don't take advantage of it. Yep. It's one of those things you just...
That's what we did yesterday. We had to just go jump in the water. I knew it was going to be cold, but it was something we just had to do. Mm-hmm. We had to get in it. But yeah, for 20 degrees, it's been 20 degrees and gray clouds. And you come down here, it's 80 degrees and sunshine and palm trees and you're swimming in a beach. It's incredible. It's the life.
Add a cold drink. And then plus you get some characters down here. I mean, some savage creatures make their way to Florida.
Between the snowbirds and the Euros, man, it's game over.
And I mean, you get this, the influx of people coming from South America now, just moving down here. Russians, I mean, you're just asking for it. It's just it's a good melting pot of diversity. So you get some really, really incredible people.
It's cool.
It's unfortunate what's happening with Wynwood. It's kind of making a resurgence, getting its Zika pass, but we go down there and just hang out at the Wynwood Yard. I know you were talking about going down there.
I think we might go check it out tonight. Yeah.
It's a good reggae night, you said, Wednesday night.
Late Wednesday night, it sent this it's Koyo Taco is a restaurant, mm-hmm. but you go through the restaurant and there's just a black door, a portal yeah. to and you just
For
open
sure,
up the door
place.
And
it's a great place.
You know, you're greeted with a nice scent and some good dance hall,
I think
Jamaican
it's
roots.
Decriminalized down there. But
it's decriminalized in the back of that club for sure. It's legal in that club. But yeah, great spot. We might go check that out tonight. We've been last year we came down and we went there and it's awesome. Just great Jamaican roots dance hall.
Cool scene. Just a scene you don't expect when you come to Miami. When you get the idea of Miami, you think, you know, South Beach, nightclubs, disco. And it's like you go out here and it's just so much more of a homier vibe, friendlier people, and just people passing joints around.
I dig it.
Yeah.
I dig it.
Can't beat that.
No.
Have you ever cried on stage? Have you ever had an emotional moment where you're like, I mean, we asked you what moment was profound for you, but what is your most emotional moment on stage? Like, I'm genuinely very curious.
Oh man, that's a great question.
We all cry to songs, right? I mean, there are some songs that I definitely cry to. So, if I'm making my own music, I would feel like there would be a time where I get on stage and I'm just trying to gain a perspective that you've had and look out and see, and just feel that moment so deeply.
Yeah, that's, you know, I definitely, you know, there might have been some tears. I don't know if they would have shown or not, but you know, when I'm on stage, you know, it's like, you know, when you're in the big game, you're just so focused and in the moment that
sure.
You know, so many emotions do rush through you that, you know, there's been oftentimes, probably, you know, when we performed that song Wise Words I wrote for my dad, there's been a couple moments where he's been at some shows, you know, when I kind of, you know, you're at the show, you're playing these lyrics that are about him, and you look out and he's there, you know. That's probably the most emotional I've been on stage, but, no, like you were saying, there was, you know, definitely instances at shows that I've attended that, you know, at Hangout, there's a guy named Leon Bridges this past year that almost brought us to tears. You know, there's one song by the Avid Brothers that I just, it's hard not to get, you know, super emotional when it's played. It's called, Murder in the City by the Avid Brothers.
I'll check it out.
It was a song, it came on the radio. I was just coming back to Nashville from a week being back here with my family. And, I just started sobbing in the car. Mm. I was like, who am I right now? Like, I'm not, you know, one to get worked up that easily, but, yeah, man, that's the power of music, though. It's
Dark
amazing.
Side of the Moon always takes me to just a darker place, and there's a song on there, Time.
Yeah.
Buddy died from a heroin overdose, and the song just reminds me of him. Even before it, I always thought, that's Jordan right there. That track is Jordan, and every time I listen to it next, I'm reminded of Jordan. It's like, oh, damn it.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Track gets me every time. It's such a good song, though, man.
It's real, man.
Can't help but listen to it and have that feeling.
It's a great song. And it's in 7/8, which most people don't know. It's the time signature that song's in. It's just you know, most stuff's in 4/4, you know, four beats in a measure, and it's like that one rare pop hit back in the day that was in an obscure 7/8 time signature. Little fun fact for the
break down the time signature thing for me. Just rocked my world.
That's a whole separate podcast right there. We'll go into hit you with some music theory, but yeah, man, that's a great song. Great song.
Now, you get a choice to see any artist anywhere, any set. You can play an old set, anytime, any location. Who's the artist? Who's the band? Where would you see them and why?
Oh, man. Oh shit. I mean, like, Bob Marley's probably the easy answer. Mm-hmm. You know, to see him back in his heyday, because that's kind of, you know, led me the path that I went with, you know, the music that I like. But yeah, I guess we'll go Bob, I guess.
Keep it at Bob.
Yeah, that's the cop out answer right there. But you know, and I guess it would be an artist I've never seen, right?
Could be.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, no, it's someone you've never seen before, could have seen. And where would you see him though? Is there some intimate setting or showing you would want to see Bob at, or you want to see him at a festival? Where's your premier pristine Bob set?
It might just have to be one of the big venues I've never been to. You know, I've never seen a show at Red Rocks. There's the big bowl in Santa Cruz. What's the big?
There's one in Washington too. Santa Cruz, the Hollywood Bowl.
Is that what it is?
That is one down there, and that's in Southern California.
Big, like, outdoor,
yeah, popular place. You go play at the Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah, maybe one of those spots. One of those, you know, classic venues. I think
Aldous Snow played there. He sold out his show there.
That's the answer I was looking for. It's Aldous Snow at the Hollywood Bowl. That's what it is.
That was the Greek Theater. That's the whole movie of that.
Yeah, that's right. The Greek Theater. Yeah, that'd be top. He'd be top three at least.
You got the clap. We got the clap.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, Jimi Hendrix would be sick. You know, maybe some of the old jazz cats. You know, like, you know, see, like, maybe like Buddy Rich back in his heyday. You know, famous drummer. You know, some of those old, maybe Motown groups. You know, like, imagine seeing like Jackson 5 or
Freddie Mercury. Man.
Freddie Mercury, Al Green.
That guy just letting it go, man, on stage. Yeah. Just. That was, think about someone stage performer, like, that guy just takes the cake for it. Like, someone who's just lead performer. Like, okay, we got to find a lead man for our band. I can't think of anybody who I've ever seen or listened to. I've never seen him live, but it's on video. And it's like, that'd be the guy. Yeah, like,
you can't replicate that.
That's your front man.
Yeah, totally. Totally. You know, all those 60 acts I would like to see, you know, 60s, 70s, with Zeppelin or Joplin or, you know.
It sucks. I'm turning 27 and I'm just. Rock stars don't make it past 27. This can be a short year for me.
It's a big year, yeah.
I'm done.
We only got a couple months left too.
We're fucked. You're actually a rock star though. See, I'm a figurative one. In my own mind.
are you a human or are you a dancer though? That's the real question.
Ask Lucy Reese because she's the Killers fan.
Can we call her in?
I phone her in from Hong Kong.
Robots are taking over soon. I'm hoping they can implant a musical chip inside me so I can be human and dancer.
That's ideal situation right there.
Once you're, you just gotta have a better grasp of yourself in the simulation and you'll be good. If you can have a better grasp of yourself in the simulation, you can always do whatever you want. That's why I have such a fun time in life. It's just easy. I'm in the simulation. It's a computer program. As long as I'm aware of it, I'm just everyday summer camp, you know? I got this guy over here. He's coming to live the Brandon Reese experience, be a basketball player.
Yeah, y'all mentioned the VR experience in your last podcast, or the one with Joe.
Going to a festival and just like, okay, I can be at home and put a helmet on and I'm walking around Suwannee Halloween.
That's it.
And, you know, whether it's me, someone's actually had the live camera on and I'm using a bit of augmented reality because I'm telling them, oh, go over there. And that guy's got a bag of mushrooms. Go eat his mushrooms. And now you're having a visual effect of this guy eating mushrooms from a guy's baggie at a festival.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's next level. That's next level.
Yeah, I wonder if we'll be able to, like, upload musical talent into our psyche, and then it won't hinder the creative process. You'll just be able to learn the talents that are available to you, and then you'll have so much more creators out there. So it'll still be unique content that people are putting out when they're designing their artwork or doing their music or playing the drums or whatever. But everyone will have the talent. I think that could be interesting, or it could be horrible.
Well, that's the Matrix right there. I mean, just, oh, I want to upload some karate right now. Let me upload drumming skills. Jimi Hendrix drumming skills. Jimi Hendrix was also a part of the simulation. He was a computer program. I can take his skills and download them and upload them to my software. So, I mean, you would technically be able to do all those things if we were to find a way to program it. And I think whether it was NASA, they hired a guy to write up the universe, write a code for it, but he couldn't do it without computer code. So it's just, well, if he couldn't use computer code or a mathematical equation for computer code, does that mean that the entire universe has actually needed a computer code to be written? And is that just actually, are all these signs that we're finding more and more that this might actually be a simulation and just might just...
Wow, my mind is blown from that statement, actually.
Yeah. I'm going to need a couple of days to process that, man.
Yeah, that's a serious thing for you to process.
Yeah.
There's a guy who was debating Neil deGrasse Tyson, another cosmologist, and he basically said he found binary code in the stars and that he found computer code that was written in the stars. And Neil deGrasse Tyson laughed him off stage. But his argument seemed pretty valid, and I didn't hear a counterpoint from Neil deGrasse. I just heard mockery. So we are in the Matrix is my conclusion.
I'm just playing the game. As long as you become accepting of it, and it's your game to play, though. It's for you to take on, whether you want to be this religion, you want to love a man, a woman, you want to be transgender. I mean, just go and do it. You're in charge of simulation, and just make sure whoever's in control of your simulation or whoever's programming you, put on a good show for them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's just not just for them, but that's just for you to have a great time and your human experience. That's all you can do.
What if I'm controlled by other people in the simulation? Well, what if you're the watcher of my simulation and I'm the watcher of your simulation?
He's becoming aware this isn't good. I have to reprogram you.
Oh, no.
But I mean, that's... the universe could be as simple as, you know, we're in one where... It just happens to be that we're living under a universe of bridges, and there's a bunch of trolls in this universe, and everybody likes to take advantage and manipulate other people. They just actually, we call them scientists, they found a way to take 15 minutes of any kind of film, whether it be like President Putin or any head of state speaking, and they could take that and they could put the certain thing on someone's face. And they can make that person on TV say whatever they want with the same face and the same facial recognition and movement to the voice of what a President Putin might say. Or he could make him say whatever he wants. And it's like, there you go. How is anything believable anymore? I shared it on my Facebook. Just nothing's real.
No.
Nothing's real.
That's next.
And I laugh. Everybody's like, oh no, I can't believe it. I'm just like, no, like this is just it. This is life. You know, because we put a funky spin on it in the year of 2016, I like to look at everything on a historical idea. It's like, this isn't the way it's always been. It's not the way it's always going to be. You know, we're, you know, just like this, you know, a little smallpox or a little container in a CDC factory getting, you know, broken and let out to a global pandemic just wiping, you know, 90% of people away. And the whole world, all societal norms and factors just change right there. Or a rock falling from outer space. It's my idea that we don't have free will. Just because we have a good reign and grasp control of what can happen on our planet doesn't give us free will throughout the entire universe and the entire cosmos. I mean, we have no control or say if that rock coming down or flying in with this same mathematical projection of our planet rotating and orbiting here that we happen to collide at the same exact time. I mean, you're supposed to say the dinosaurs would have free will, but obviously they didn't. They got hit by this rock and they were completely wiped out. And the true and proper species took over. All hail the mammals. And we're just not letting go. We're holding on. 65 million years and running. We're running a good show, though.
If it wasn't for giant flying rocks through space, we wouldn't be here right now.
But I mean, hey, I mean, that's what people want to say. They have a free will and they have determination over what happens and what goes on. But in the greater picture, I mean, if you look at it on a vaster scale, which I like to look at, much people. But you have a say in what happens and goes on here. But if you look at it on a more minute scale, all the decisions and choices people have made before me, or before you, Troy, or you, Daniel, those decisions help play a factor of who we are and how we got to these situations today. We might have a choice about what happened at the present moment, but, you know, British and Americans having such a good imperialism and English speaking be spread throughout the entire world only helped and contribute to me being able to travel and have free range and, you know, travel around the planet, or just being a white person in America. You being born a certain color or between a certain imaginary line on the planet, if you don't have the free will and choice to do that, and there's already a certain rules and certain preconceived notions that are thrown onto you, even though you're a baby and you don't have them yet, where's the free will there if you don't get a choice to where you get to fall? And you only get a choice with a hand. You get a hand, cards handed to you. Where's the free choice there? Where's the will that you get to choose and decide?
Yeah, absolutely. That's
It's good stuff. I also like to think how lucky we are to be in these situations, you know? Yeah, to have these amazing gifts and crafts to be able to display these things.
Dude, we're blessed, man, without a doubt. Just to be in this country, man, we're blessed.
Thankful every day, and I like to laugh about it, just like, oh, man, it's too good, you know? Even if a bad thing happens, I just smile and laugh it off because it's like, oh, this is the worst of my worries, you know? I don't have to worry about walking 60 miles to go get my water today. I don't have to worry about living in the middle of nowhere and just not being able to connect and interact with other humans. You know, any interaction or connection I get to make, you know, I'm able to connect with you, you know, through Facebook or social media, and then get you to come in here and be on the podcast after all these years. I mean, I can't think of anything better, man.
It's great, man. We need more people with that mindset too. It's that type of mindset that's really going to make a difference, you know?
So the bus is about, man.
Let's keep the bus rolling.
Can we count you coming on the bus? Bring the whole band. Bring the band. We'll host you for the tour.
That would be an interesting interview right there. We'll do it, though.
We'll do it live.
Sounds great.
Troy, I think we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on the bus. See that thing over there? See that little head right there? That is your on-the-bus t-shirt.
I get a t-shirt?
You get a t-shirt, woo! Dude. You get to say, I'm on the bus.
I'm gonna wear that.
Whether you're not on it anymore, the podcast is over, you don't need a bus to be on it, man.
Well, I appreciate it. Because you're on it. Thank y'all. Thank y'all for having me, man. This has been great.
And do you have any place to find you personally? Any place you want people to come connect with you? Or even a great place to find the band? Whether it be a website, music pages?
Yeah, absolutely. Just Google Roots of a Rebellion. We'll pop right up. Give us a like, you know, Facebook, Instagram. I just joined the Instagram world.
Yeah, was
believe
it
or not.
Treece Wiggs?
It's Treece Wiggs. Yeah, Treece.
Ooh.
Yeah, so I'm a...
You're so artsy.
I'm stepping up.
You're so artsy.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it, guys.
Awesome. Bus Riders, cheers. Again,
and
thanks
Spotify.
For having out.
You can find you on Spotify as well.
Spotify, definitely, yeah. Spotify, yeah. iTunes, all that good stuff. And yeah, check out the tour days too. You know, I'm sure we'll be coming through. Some of y'all that are listening will be in your area.
I'm glad I can finally see a show. I might not just see one, though. I'll just see one in Nashville too, man. I got to make it up there.
It's been in the works. We'll get you.
I just missed that one in Nashville, but we'll make it up. We'll rain check it.
I look forward to it.
Bus Riders, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year's. We love you. Thank you for all the support. Blum?
We're out of here.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Troy, thanks again so much for coming on the show. If you love this episode, you liked it, please, please, please hit the subscribe button and write a review on iTunes. If you liked it that much and you'd like On the Bus Podcast t-shirt, send us a picture of your review to onthebuspodcast@gmail.com and we'll send you out a t-shirt, an On the Bus Podcast t-shirt you've seen photoed. Also get down to all of our social media pages, On the Bus Podcast, Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. You can connect with Troy on Instagram at Treece Wiggs. That's Treece underscore Wiggs, Wiggs. And make sure you connect with the band. You can find them wherever you find music. That's YouTube, Spotify, SoundCloud, iTunes, The Works. You can find them. Reach out and connect with them. I know they'd love to reach out. And make sure you reach out to Troy. Troy's a man. Plain and simple. He's a really cool guy. Anything you want to know about musical theory to drumming to even sports, reach out and connect. Don't forget to check out all the affiliates and sponsors, Organifi, Onnit, Gophercase, and the Amazon.com and shop around, look them up. They're amazing products, amazing services that help you optimize the most of your human experience. Everybody, have a happy new year. The bus says happy new year. Get fucked, get hot. 2017, we are coming in hot.